As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Well, it's officially that time, Michael. The air is starting to cool off, at least where I'm at in Cleveland, Ohio. Football's making its way back. My kids are in school. I think fall's pretty much started.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not officially, but yeah, now that we're past Labor Day, it's the sort of unofficial start of fall, isn't it?
That's how I always look at it, for sure. And that means I've recently started to teach again, too.
That's right. You teach an undergraduate product management class at Case Western Reserve University, don't you?
I do. Yeah, that's where I went to business school back in the day. And yeah, it's just a one-hour class every week, and I only teach it in the fall. But I actually enjoy it. It's a lot of fun for me. Kind of keeps me energized, and it feels good. I mean, hey, there were no product management classes that I could even take when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my career. So it's kind of cool to kind of bring it to life, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's so true. Even now, your class is probably one of, I don't know, a few dozen in the country for undergraduates.
That might be true. Like, I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah, it's probably right around there.
So any interesting topics that you've covered so far?
Well, we pretty much just started the semester, and it's an introductory course, but I am already getting some good career-oriented questions, which is good. I love getting those early on in the semester. And actually...
Yeah.
Well, if any of the students are listening, today's bonus episode of Rocketship.fm will actually be right up your alley. And I mean, really, it's going to be good for anybody interested in navigating your product career.
Well then, we better not waste any time. Let's get right into it.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We are your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
Okay, today's episode, you said it's for those interested in advancing their career in product. So What do you plant?
Well, recently I interviewed Jackie Bavaro. Jackie wrote the book for product people who are in the product job market, Cracking the PM Interview. But more recently, she co-authored the follow-up book, Cracking the PM Career.
Ah, well, you're right. This is going to be a perfect episode for those looking to take the next step in their product careers.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure. And I had a good time sitting down with Jackie and having a good discussion. And when we first started talking, we talked about why she wrote this book in the first place, Cracking the PM Career. And, well, here she is, sharing what influenced her to take this on.
There were just a lot of misunderstandings I had when I was earlier in my career. And at one point, I got invited to do a talk on surprising secrets of PM career success. And at first, I was like, oh, there's no surprising secrets. Like, everything's out in the open. And then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, there's a lot. There's a lot of things that aren't immediately obvious. And maybe some people get it right away. But I've seen myself and other people, you know, look at those career ladders and misread them and be like, I checked off all the boxes. Why didn't I get promoted? Or to understand how to make great products where you're like, wait, I followed this framework, but why was I supposed to use this other framework instead? And so really that experience of realizing that there are so many things to learn and so many ways to improve, and really that as you grow, you're starting to form these mental models, models of what makes a product great, models of how customers interact with you and feel about your products. So I really wanted to share those.
Well, I'm glad that she did go down this path. It's definitely something that's needed. So where do we ever begin?
Well, we should probably start with what the product career track even looks like. And according to Jackie, there are certain phases that every product person typically goes through in their career.
For the product career, there's really three phases. There's being a great product manager, and that's really learning how to reliably ship great products. You know, how do you build products that people love, that hit their goals, that ship on time? And this is so much of, you know, what the interview process is about. And you might think that's all of it. What else is there other than reliably shipping great products? But there's the second phase that usually corresponds with a senior PM role. And that is reliably creating and executing on great strategies that help you win in the market. So this is going a step broader scope than just shipping a good product that people love, but also saying, was that good product that people loved? Did that get that we shipped this year? Does that get us on the path to ship great products next year and to win and to succeed as a company next year? So that's really setting a long-term vision, having an inspiring picture of what you want to achieve as a team and as a company, and then figuring out how are we going to get there? And how are we going to get everyone around us on the team aligned and pointed in that same direction? And so then you might be like, great, that's all there is. What else could there possibly be beyond that? But there's another phase of organizational excellence. So once you move into people management roles, you're no longer having your fingers in every pie and designing the products. And you might still do product strategy, but that's not your main role anymore. Now you need to build a great team. So you need to hire people who are going to be successful. You need to train them. You need to set up the processes and work cross-departmentally so that all the teams work well together. And you have to then influence up to say, is it a good company strategy so that we can all succeed together?
Okay, so being a great product manager and reliably shipping great products, that's phase one. Then creating and executing great strategies, that's phase two. And that's really what senior product managers are often doing. And the third phase is about organizational excellence. It's now less about the product, more about the people. It's about hiring, building great teams, developing those teams. Did I get that all right?
Yeah, I think that succinctly summarizes it all right there.
So then the question is, do you just simply advance through all those stages? When we're thinking about advancing through our careers as product people, is it important for us to have that end goal in sight of being perhaps the organizational leader, the people manager? Is it all sequential?
Well, yes and no. And I'll let Jackie sort of go into this more. It's certainly true that not everybody should try to be that people manager. I mean, you might be an excellent product person and you just don't want to manage people, or maybe you're a bad manager. I mean, that can happen. But you should have some aspirations of continuing to advance. You don't necessarily want to be an associate product manager or APM forever. Let's go back to Jackie for more on this.
Most people should try to make it to senior PM. If you want to hang out in the like APM stage after your, you know, fourth year as an APM, somebody might say, if you aren't able to grow to the next stage, we might want to take that headcount slot and give it to someone who's growing a little bit faster. But once you make it to senior PM, once you're able to create strategies for your team and you're able to reliably and independently ship products, that's a great place to be. That's a really incredibly valuable role. And so once you make it to senior PM, really your paths open up a lot. One direction you can go is to try to grow by changing the kind of problems you work on and the kinds of companies you work at. So staying at that senior PM level, you might go from a small company to a big company. You might go from a product that has a few users to a product that has a lot of users. Or you could go the other direction and you could say, I want to go from a large company to a startup. And another direction that I see that I love is people say, I want to go into social impact work now. I want to work on something that's more meaningful to me. So lots of different directions you can move and say, I don't care about the career ladder. I really want to focus on working on problems that are meaningful to me. If you do care about the career ladder, if that's the direction that you want to go, there's sort of two paths you can take, the IC path and the manager path. And one thing I do want to be honest about is there are both paths, but there are not equal numbers of roles in both these paths. There are a lot more, once you want to get beyond senior PM, there's a lot more people management roles. And that's because if a company wants to hire someone who's even better than a senior PM, and senior PMs are excellent, if you want to hire someone who's even better than a senior PM, you have to expect that they're going to have more impact than a senior PM would have. And there aren't that many problems and projects that companies have that have that much more impact that can be tackled by a team that's small enough for one PM to lead it. So if you have a problem you're going after that needs, 50 engineers to solve it, you're probably gonna need multiple PMs and they're probably gonna want a people manager running that team. But there are those roles. And I've talked to a lot of people doing this principal PM path. The patterns I've seen, one of them is that a lot of times you have to find your own problem there. You have to be the one to discover that this is what I think our team should be doing. And the other is that I've seen that partnerships is a common pattern of these principal PM roles. So for example, when Microsoft and Yahoo are partnering together, the integration that they build might only need 10 engineers to build it, but it's incredibly important. It's mission critical to the two companies. And so those are roles that have a higher proportion of principal PMs.
Okay, let's take a short break here to hear from our sponsors.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Before the break, we started to learn about what a career path in product management looks like. And we've been learning all about it from Jackie Bavaro, who literally wrote the book on the topic, Cracking the PM Career.
Yeah, we learned about how product people ought to think about progressing in their product career. You may not end up being a product leader managing people if that's not the path you want to take, but you're likely going to want to continue progressing as a product manager and senior product manager, maybe even going deeper and becoming a principal product manager or something similar. And yes, if you do enjoy managing people and are good at it, maybe the path of being a VP or CPO, maybe that's on track for you down the road.
Okay, you just mentioned like eight different titles. Product manager, senior product manager, principal product manager.
Yeah, I could keep going too, by the way. Lead product manager, group product manager.
All right. Before you go on, what do they all mean?
Well, that's the thing. Some of these, depending on the organization, they're kind of nebulous.
The titles are very inconsistent from company to company. The best resource that I found is a website called levels.fyi. And that will show you, you can put like Google next to Facebook, next to Microsoft, and you can see exactly, how they tend to overlap. And they'll use things like salary and years of experience to try to match them up. Group product manager is one of the most ambiguous terms because it can actually mean, some companies use it to mean the first managerial position. And it's somebody who spends half their time doing IC work, independent contributor work with a team, and half their time managing just a few people. Or it can mean somebody two levels up, that something that's more commonly called PM director. That's a much larger role. So yeah, the names are very ambiguous. And when I talk about senior PM, I'm generally talking about a role that a lot of people, you know, also years of experience will not be consistent at all, but usually people will have more than 5 years of experience, and they will really be responsible for the strategy of their team and for creating new strategies, not just executing on someone else's strategy, but that they need to be generating new ideas of what their team should be working on next.
Interesting tip on levels.fyi. I took a trip over to that page, and yes, it's an interesting resource for sure. I'm really glad Jackie brought it up.
Okay, well, we heard Jackie before talk about those three stages that a product person goes through, the first being product manager, and there, again, you're focusing on shipping great products. But then let's say, congratulations, you've been promoted. You're now that senior product manager. Now what?
You send a group text to your product friends and ask, what do I do?
Well, you could do that. I definitely have done that. Or you could take Jackie's feedback right here.
Great. So you've made it to senior manager, and now the world is your oyster. So what I would suggest is do some of these goal setting exercises. This is really self-reflective. It's going to be really personal. One of the exercises that I love is, so there's this concept of a zone of genius. So it's separate from your zone of excellence. So the idea is that as you develop your skills, there are going to be some sets of activities you can do that are your zone of excellence. And that means you're great at it, you can make a lot of money doing it, and everybody wants you to do it because you're so good at it. And people get stuck there because they get so much like recognition and reward for being in their zone of excellence. But when you're in the zone of excellence, you're not enjoying yourself. You're good at everything, and it can be kind of risky to try something else. But what you want to kind of try to do is see, can you move to your zone of genius? So that's a place where not only are you excellent at it, but also when you're doing that kind of work, you feel alive, like time disappears, you're in a state of flow, you're enjoying yourself. And so one thing I found useful that I did when I was working at Asana, we did this exercise where we wrote down a paragraph each about 10 different experiences that we were really proud of, that we felt great about, work or non-work, and just wrote them out. And then in our room of the product team, we each shared our experiences, and other people in the room would reflect back to us what they heard. So they'd say, you know, for me, this is where I learned that I like to try something hard and then teach it to somebody else. And that was one of the patterns I saw. So that was a nice way for me to really introspect and figure out what is it I want to do with my life once you can do anything.
Great feedback on where to go when you're at that second stage. But after that stage, if you decide to pursue a career path after that stage, you're moving into product leadership. Now you're becoming a people manager.
And that's a whole new ballgame.
The first thing to know is that to become a product leader, you need to first be a good product manager. And this seems maybe to some people, this is incredibly obvious, but I've definitely met people who said, I don't want to get better at execution because I just want to become a manager and the people on my team will do the execution. And that is not at all how it works. First of all, because you won't get hired into those roles or promoted into those roles if you're not already showing excellence. But second of all, because you won't be trusted to coach the people on your team if you don't already know how to do it. So first things is like focus on being great at your job. And I would even encourage people to not act like their current PM role is some like inconvenient stop on the path to people management, because that will start to fray your relationship with your manager, and your relationship with your manager is incredibly important. So the next thing I would say is to focus on starting to pick up some product leadership activities. And the two that I think are really big here, one is mentoring people. So this might be unofficial mentoring, it might be official mentoring, having an intern, having coaching an APM, but really starting to show interest in helping other people develop, because that's a huge part of product leadership, and building up this track record of people that you've helped, who then can write you a nice peer review and talk about how helpful you were, because that will start to show your skills there. Another one for product leadership is starting to work on processes. And if I say process, you should work on process. And you're like, no, I hate process, which is a lot of PMs. First, you might want to rethink how much you want to become a people manager, because process is a huge part of what people managers are responsible for. So even before you become a manager, you can work on processes by developing templates for your teams to use and share them around. You might decide to take over one of the team meetings and lead that and help, you know, organize it for people. Volunteer for various types of process and organizational responsibilities. And by doing that, you get to show your skill at those, and you get to start to earn the respect of the other PMs on your team, so that if you do become a manager, they'll be like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. I can see why she should have become a manager, and not like, why did she get that role and not me? So those processes are really important. And then the third thing I'd say is to talk to your manager about it. And you don't want to say like, I want to be a manager right now, because that might fray that relationship again. But instead you might say, I'm really interested in becoming a people manager someday. Can we talk about what skills I should focus on and what I should be developing, so I'll be ready when the opportunity arises? And by putting that out in a future looking way, now your manager is free to go write down all the reasons why they're not going to promote you right now. But now you have this nice list of what you should be working on that can help put the idea into your manager's head in case they hadn't thought of it, and give you really important feedback on where you need to work.
Okay, we've gone through a lot here. It's probably a good time to take one final break to hear from our sponsors. We'll then come back to cover some common mistakes made, along with some final thoughts.
Welcome back. We're in the home stretch of today's episode, one where we're learning how to best navigate our product careers.
Jackie Bivaro, author of Cracking the PM Career, talked about three stages that one goes through, basically product manager, senior product manager, and product leader.
And she offered some great advice throughout, advice that's a result of a great career in product that she's had herself. She's seen what's worked and, well, what exactly hasn't worked.
In fact, Jackie talks about some mistakes that she's seen made along the way. Things that can hopefully be avoided.
One of the common mistakes I see is underinvesting in your relationship with your manager. I think sometimes people have a tendency to either get competitive with their manager or to sort of vent and let it all out to their manager and complain to their manager. But in most companies, your manager is either the person who decides to promote you or at least somebody who needs to advocate for you to a promotion committee. And so your manager, they need to want to promote you, and they need to believe that you are going to make their lives easier. They want to know that, like, okay, great, if I make you a manager, you're going to handle all those people for me, and not that you're going to come and complain to me and make my life tougher and now be another person who I have to deal with. Investing in that relationship, really get to know your manager. Understand what their goals are, what keeps them awake at night. Because the way that you grow in your career for most of these levels is you start to delegate some of your current responsibilities, and that frees up your time. So now you can take on bigger and better responsibilities. And that's true for you, but it's also true for your manager. So if you can connect with your manager, they might give you some really high level, important stretch opportunities that you love because it's a chance to show these strategic skills and get exposure at a higher level in the company. And they love because it freed up their time and now they can work on other things.
Well, I thought that this was an especially useful conversation with Jackie. It's good for those starting off in their careers, like my students, but I hope it's also useful for those right in the middle of their careers as well.
I definitely think that it was. For folks who want to learn more and go deeper, we definitely recommend grabbing Jackie's book, Cracking the PM Career. You can simply go to crackingthepmcareer.com and learn more about it.
Yeah, Michael, I did want to ask you too. I mean, as a product leader yourself, are there any final words of advice that you would give to listeners here on how to best, you know, advance through your product career?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Well, Jackie definitely hit up on this. So it's really just reinforcing a point she made, which is relationships matter, whether that's the relationship with your boss, which she's pointed out that many people don't put as much weight into as they should, or relationships with colleagues, the very people that you might need to rely on down the road, not just at your current job, but perhaps at different companies. These are people that you can recruit, or people that you can turn to for help, or heck, maybe even start a company with one day. These relationships that you have in your job today, regardless of the level, they'll likely matter down the road.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I'll add one here too. My piece of advice would be to keep an open mind. I mean, as product people, we all know that the world that our products live in today, well, it's changing. I mean, in 3 years, the landscape might be totally different. the problems we're solving for, the ideal solutions to try to, you know, solve those problems, those might be completely changed from what they are now. So for our careers, we should remind ourselves that what works for us today might not necessarily work for us tomorrow. If you think that excelling in your product career is a given because you're a superstar at your job right now, well, it may be true, but it's only going to be true if you keep an open mind, continue to learn new things, continue to evolve. Otherwise, your product career might stall out faster than you'd think. So keep that learning going. Keep growing as a product person and a product leader.
Great feedback for sure. Well, I know we have a couple more bonus episodes before we start season 11, so we'll be back right here next week with more for you. Until then, for Mike Belsito, I'm Michael Sacca, and this is Rocketship.fm. Thank you so much for listening to Rocketship.fm. It is your support that keeps the show going. If you can, take a second and leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps out the show so much. We're also part of the Podglomerate Network. And if you'd like to listen to more great shows from the Podglomerate, go to thepodglomerate.com to see the full show listings.
Rocketship.fm is produced in partnership with Product Collective, a community for product people. Go to productcollective.com and get access to our weekly newsletter, live video interviews, Slack community, product job board, and a whole lot more. Again, just go to productcollective.com.